Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams, whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Don't Make Me Come Back There. We are a funny podcast about family. My name is Dustin Nickerson. I'm the host of the aforementioned podcast. I got it off a little bit because I can officially again say I'm a stand-up comedian. Not just a stand-up comedian in my own town, but a traveling stand-up comedian. Welcome to our little podcast. This is Mondays with Mel, meaning I am alongside my lovely wife, Melissa Nickerson, in the southwest corner of our studio / bedroom.
Hello.
Hello. Hello to you.
Welcome home.
I've been home for a little bit. I think that this is, we've talked about this when the world is normal, that this is probably going to be more what Mondays with Mel are, where we just kind of be like, so how was your weekend? I don't know. But that's, I mean, we do talk.
We do.
But it's like.
We're just both really busy.
We are very busy. So, I don't know if busy is the word I would use to describe me.
Yeah, on the road.
On the road.
Well, sometimes. If you're podcasting or if you're with a headliner, golfing.
You know how I have the joke about how, like, you can't say you grew up poor if you know how to ski?
Yes.
I also would say, like, and this applies to me in road weekends, you can't say you're busy if you took a bath.
That's fair.
If you had time to soak...
Yeah.
Just a little soak, then you're not that busy. Speaking of which...
I did not take a bath this weekend.
I had a question for you. So a friend of mine, Paul, and I were talking about, you know, the great mask debate of 2020.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's people who are saying that it's actually dangerous because the CO2 or, you know, whatever the argument is. I don't fully understand it. But I don't... If you were to ask me how... exactly a virus works, I don't fully understand that either. I don't do science. I think I might have said that exact quote before.
We don't science.
It's we both got through. I never failed science. You probably got A's in science. Did you know it, or did you pass the tests? Did you know it? Like, would you like, they talk about, like, in acting, like, you, like, a lot of time actors will, like, really learn the subject, so they speak with real conviction on it. They're not just blurting out a script that they memorized.
So much of high school science is just memorization.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know if you, like, I don't mean there's an insult.
Classification.
I don't mean there's an insult because I think you're very intelligent.
You know what I probably did learn the most was chemistry.
You learned it. Like, you knew it. Like, you understood it.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
I had the hardest chemistry teacher.
Hey, this was AP chemistry, right?
No, our school didn't have AP chemistry. Yeah. She was terrible.
But
science is one of those, like, OCD fields.
Totally. Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
So the kind of teacher you get.
Oh, gosh. Someone who's like, man.
It's like accounting.
Yeah.
It's like
science
accounting.
It is the science of accounting of science. It really is, like you said, it's a lot of classification. This is this and this and this and this. And it's so many tests. Just all the tests.
And then the lab
and
prep.
Few papers, which is where I could really BS my way through.
Yeah.
Man, you know what was never hard for me? Hitting the word limit. Never an issue.
Oh, yeah.
Never an issue. Page limits, not an issue. The quality, you know, I was never the kid that, was making the font large and, you remember,
triple,
like,
spacing.
Double space, and you're like, okay, but he won't notice if I make it 2.2. People, they're not, you know, jimmy-rig the system.
Did you have teachers that told you were a good writer?
Yeah, absolutely. I had teachers that, I mean, I always got, you know, more so I always got, like, picked to do the presentations. Like, if we were doing a select amount
really
of presentations
shined.
Or debates.
It's the public speaking.
Or, like, I remember in community college, I took speech in community college. It was the easiest class in history. And I was like, how is this? I honestly didn't feel, there's actually probably a lesson to be learned here, because it didn't feel like school. It didn't feel like work.
Yeah.
It was so fun. It was so easy. It was the easy, I literally got 100% on everything. Like, I didn't get anything wrong the whole time. Like, I nailed it. I was excited to read about it. Reading about different speech theory, communication things. It's so, so fun and easy. Not even just communication, but speech specifically. And I remember a lot of that class really struggled. So it wasn't an easy class. It was just, I really liked it. And that's what education should be. Like, at a higher level, where you're just like, I mean, you should learn about everything, but you should spend the bulk of your training on the thing you love to do, you know? Yeah. And I was like, well, yeah, I mean, this is really easy and fun for me. But not in the sense that it was easy, because I remember, well, especially with speech, people were terrified.
Yeah.
People were so
but
scared.
But they didn't have to take it.
That's true.
I get that you're trying, you should take a class where you're trying to improve.
Sometimes in college, you just take the credit thing that fits your schedule.
You need a communication class.
You need a communication type thing. Yeah. And you're like, hey, that fits in between. That's not ideal. You know, I need this.
Yeah.
That's why I ended up in like econ. I was like, gosh, I got to take an econ. Oh, gosh. this is helpful, you know. But, anyways, how did we get here? Backtrack us. We went
biology,
to speech.
Or no, chemistry.
Spooch. Masks. Masks.
Oh, we went from CO2.
CO2. We don't science. No. But the one, what my friend and I, Paul, were talking about were about how many jobs always wore masks.
Yeah.
Doctors have always worn masks.
Mm-hmm.
Nurses have always worn masks for whole days sometimes, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, you know, carpenters. Carpenters wear masks.
Mm-hmm.
Construction workers wear masks. Not all the time, but a lot of, you know, people who work around chemicals wear masks.
Painters.
My dad would wear masks. Like when, you know, he's working for the airlines oftentimes, and he's like up in the belly. People would wear masks. Masks were a part. And then what I wanted to ask you is don't when you get like a medicure or a pedicure, don't they sometimes wear them? I feel like I've seen.
I'm not a medicure.
Medicure.
Wow.
Manicure. I said it wrong, actually.
I haven't had one
manicure,
in like
pedicure?
Decade. Over a decade.
What are they called?
It's not my thing.
What's that job called?
Manicurist.
Manicurist. Manicurist is what I call. I botched the name there. Manicurist.
What are you?
I'm just going to goo. What's it called again?
A
pedicure
it's like
and a what?
Manny and Petty.
Yeah,
manicure.
There we go. Do they? Okay, maybe they don't wear masks.
I think they do when they do like the gel nails.
Okay,
and like the.
Do you want crypto gel? Sorry, I'm doing. We're
Angela's.
Doing. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. When they
yeah,
do
they're
the,
totally wearing. They do during the thing. Mm-hmm. People wear masks. Masks are not a new part of society. They're and
you wear them when you're skiing.
Do people get sick from that? Why can't we say that word? Manicurists and pedicurists. Do they get sick?
Esthetician. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just saying there are folks that wear these every day, their whole life. They've worn these at this job.
Mm-hmm.
You can wear it at the Trader Joe's, ma'am. You can. Did you see the Trader Joe's video? The lady getting kicked out. It was so, she's wearing that old like early 2000s shirt, like the bedazzled, like Bebe or whatever that brand was.
Remember
Bebe.
I don't know. Bebe.
she had to buy. She got her choices were getting that or getting something from Wet Seal or Guess. Those were the three big brands. Clothing brands, man, that come and go. Who knew that of those ones that Champion was going to be the one making a huge resurgence?
Came back. Our kids love it.
Yeah, that kid's so popular. So anyways, I, you know, it's funny. So the masks were mandatory at the shows this weekend at Tacoma.
Yeah.
And everybody was so good. Everybody that came to the show was so reasonable about the mask stuff. There was one person who came up and was like, what do you think about all this COVID stuff? What do you think about it? You know, or no, he said, are you buying it?
Yes.
Am I buying what?
Like masks?
That it's a real thing? And I was like, what do you mean? I was like, I mean, I'm sure there's some stuff that's blown up proportion. I mean, it's hard to, I was just talking to, or, you know, chatting with somebody on Twitter about this earlier where I, you know, I shared the image about how the, you know, the numbers are going up everywhere. And she's like, good news though, like death rates are going down. And I was like, could you share an article? You know, don't just say it. You share me an article. And I don't care who the article may be from Fox News. I'm just saying, make it from a news source. Like, don't be something, you know, the Telegraphic Independent Guardian .uk. I'm like, I don't know.
It's just not familiar.
.eu. Like, I don't know. I understand. I'm not familiar. You know, anything that ever has, like, anything, any link that you send me that they're like byline, you know, like their subject line is like bringing you the truth. And if the truth is in all caps, I was like, this is not a good website. This is
That's very biased.
Yeah. Anytime, actually, any, like, I don't know, like, I mean, I guess, right, the New York Times, right, has all the news that's fit to print. Like, sometimes they have, like, little slogans, digs. Little things like that. But if you're, you have a byline, it's like, the real truth.
Yeah.
Taking the blinders off of the sheeple.
Sheeple?
Oh, come on, babe. That's right. I forget that you don't live on the internet like I do.
Yeah.
You live in the real world. I live on the internet.
I am just in my house.
I'm like a character in Wreck-It Ralph in the video game. I'm in the system.
You're Dan TDM.
Yeah, I'll send you these things. And I was like, is this funny? Is this pithy? And you're like, are people talking about this? I was like, it's all they're talking about. I try and...
I know. I'm not the best advisor.
No. But you do... You can tell me what...
I've got a pulse on
things.
You
can tell me what something's funny or not. I said that one today. I sent you my favorite thing about the Good Samaritan is how he doesn't help the guy in the ditch because it's like, it's my constitutional right not to. And that's more pithy. And it's a bit of a... You know, someone called me out. It's a fan of mine. And he's a good fan. But he told me something that's been sticking in my head. He's like, you know, I'm just kind of getting tired of the platitudes. And I was going through, and everything that I try and do tries to be, I'm trying to be authentic and genuine. This is in life, authentic and genuine and funny. Like, those are the things that I want to be. And yeah, sometimes I look back on something, I was like, that wasn't even humorous. Like, if it's just pithy, or it's a platitude, or it's, what did you...
Well, I said it, I was like, it's not funny, but it's creative.
It's creative, and maybe it's a little insightful, you know? And it's something that I can say in a video. It's a take. It's a take. And... who cares about your take? But it's not, you know, when you share something, when you share an individual statement on something other than Twitter, you're like, it's more of like a boom. You know, Twitter is just people
Twitter,
say things.
You can just throw it out there.
Twitter's an open mic to me. Twitter's like, you throw this thing out, see if people like it. And then if it goes really big, then maybe I'll put it on the other platforms and stuff. But anyways, I forget that you don't live on the internet. But you
know, I'm glad I don't.
Yeah, no, it's good that you don't.
You know,
I mean,
I'm certainly on my phone.
Only
just hands free over here.
I've been riffing a little bit on that, like the joke about, you know, the young couples, and every night when we go out to restaurants, we eat at the same, on the same side of the booth. And then you've heard the joke where I'm like, my wife is like, can we go out but eat at different restaurants? And then I add, like, I just want to stare at my phone for a while. And there is just a tune out. Like, what are you looking at? Nothing. You've been calling me out, though. It's been about a few months that I've been doing it, but...
It's kind of since quarantine.
I think it's been,
I know you've been doing it before, but the kids are all home now.
Yeah, we're both home at the same time. We shower.
I'm assuming we're talking about the same thing.
Yeah, I assume Melissa's been calling me out a little bit on my
post shower.
I'll put on a little YouTube video. It's often like a podcast.
Yeah.
Maybe a little stand up. Maybe a little interview. It's something that you can consume passively. But I feel like you're kind of upset about it.
Oh, no, I was like, oh, you're doing your video time or something. Yeah.
I think you call my little, my Rogan bathroom sesh, which is not the ideal term. that's all. I mean, he had Jon Stewart on this week. Jon Stewart is.
I did listen. listened to about half that last night. Yeah.
They get into comedy, they get into COVID, they get into George Floyd stuff, then they get into...
They didn't get to George Floyd.
At the end, they start talking a lot about, like, food and hunting, and John Stewart's vegan, you know.
I couldn't believe how long... 16 years?
16 years, what? I couldn't believe John Stewart was on there for 16 years, too. That's crazy.
I forgot. I mean...
Yeah.
I can't say that I've been like an avid fan. Yeah. I've certainly seen some of his work, but I didn't, you know, watch it constantly.
He talks about how he quit because he felt like it wasn't making a difference. And I was, that was really crazy. But he's like wrong. He's totally wrong. And this is why I think I was talking to my sister about this last week.
Well, because she's a huge fan of his.
Huge fan, and I am too. I love Jon Stewart. I like The Daily Show, but it was Craig Kilborn before him, and then Jon Stewart, and then I like Trevor Noah. I like The Daily Show. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, comedic news is really funny, and political news is really funny to me. And I'm not good at it. So when somebody's good at it, I really enjoy it. I was telling my sister about how he was on for a long time, and you know, I think Jon Stewart helped a generation of people think critically and on all sides, because I can tell you bits on every political candidate that he would not just make fun of, but be critical of. Mm-hmm. And then he's such an intellectual heavyweight that, you know, he would go on these new shows and tear apart, you know, these guys and girls. But what I was telling I was telling Jessica, like, that... The way to quantify a generation of people thinking critically is not quantifiable yet. Like, I'm 35. Mm-hmm. I'm not, and I'm the Jon Stewart generation, but I'm not in power yet. And I'm not going to be in power. But you know what I mean? Like, the world is run by people in their 40s and 50s and 60s. We're not there yet, but we're on our way. We're at the door. You know?
Yeah. like, some people in their mid-30s are just getting their opportunities.
Yeah.
Like, starting.
Even the young ones, like AOC. You know, AOC is young and just got in, you know?
Yeah.
But she's next to Nancy Pelosi, you know? And you look around. Look how Mitch McConnell is 1,000 years old, you know? And looks, you know, looks 2,000 years old. Like, those are folks who are in positions of power. It's so, like, when you see... Like a young governor or a young congressman, it stands out. And when I mean young, I mean like in their 40s.
Yeah, that's when you said young. I was thinking mid 40s.
When they're like young and vibrant and like that guy Crenshaw in Texas, he's the guy with the eye patch. He seems like he's like 25. I'm sure he's not. He's probably in his 40s, maybe even young 50s, but he's just got some youth on him.
Yeah.
So you're like, this guy's full of life. I love him. So anyways, my sister and I were definitely a Jon Stewart generation.
I was really surprised when he described it as like a low level rage.
Right.
Like, I do think that if you're going to study the daily news cycle that closely for 16 years and react to it
every night or five nights a week. Yeah.
That's insane.
Mm-hmm.
To think about doing that.
Well, the other thing about that, too, a lot of the time, you know, they would have to write, not a lot of time, they would have to write the show the day of.
Yeah.
Because what happened, and it's not like, late night shows, you know, you can write a sketch in weeks in advance, you know.
Yeah.
And the monologue is fresh each day, but everything else isn't, and not necessarily, but not like a daily show. A daily show would have an interview and stuff, but they would have, you know, the majority of the show is stuff they had to get written that day and produced and made that day, you know, because if you wrote it the night before, who knows what happened that day, you know? Everything changes so fast. So, yeah, it was, but he's such a comic, and that you're just like, he just, you know, I mean, listening to him and Rogan, they're like, Rogan, I think, is more traditionally not like a comic because of that crazy self-confidence. At least not the type that I identify with. Jon Stewart, who is one of the most impactful culture shaping comedians in modern history going like, I don't know, I don't really think I made a difference, and I don't really go around the clubs anymore. He's just really down on himself, and I was like, yeah, that's a comic right there.
The self-doubt.
That's my kind of guy.
And
right
Rogan's
there.
Like, you went out on top.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
What are you
yeah.
talking
and
about?
And he's like, no, I quit because I wasn't making a difference. It's so funny, just the discrepancy. So anyways, my weekend, I think I've told you some
Your
of
week
it. My week. Yeah.
Very, this is a very eventful week.
I was telling people about how, I guess I haven't said this on the pod yet. So I went to Texas and I did that camp gig.
Yeah, because we recorded before it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was... Yeah. Petrified. You've said before it's almost good, like, where there's just like there's a gig, there's almost always a gig on the books that I'm anxious about. Mm-hmm. And it's usually not because it's gonna be so big and important, because I don't really do big and important gigs. I don't get a lot of opportunities. That's not true. It's a little true, but the it's usually a gig that I'm dreading.
Yeah.
A corporate,
mm-hmm.
a gig, a teen. It's a corporate or teens. That's usually mm-hmm. what it is. And
usually the money's pretty good.
It has to be pretty good, well, or yeah. I wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
Now, this wasn't.
You have to be talked into it.
If this was, if they inquired about this 6 months ago, I would have said no.
And they stuck it in April.
Exactly.
Yeah, if, there's no way.
Well, first off, yeah. if they inquired, I'd have said no. And to get me to say yes, it would have had to be a 50% increase. They would, you know,
yeah.
if not double, this, to be like.
That's what we said. There's yeah. a there's Zoom pay.
Yeah.
There's summer pay. There's COVID pay. it's sad.
But. Somebody messaged me today, like, hey, I'm doing this thing for our volunteers up in Canada. And I was like, cool, this will be fun. I go up to Canada right now, and maybe it's in a few months down the road. Like, could you do a 15-minute Zoom show for us? You just took a zero off this payment.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't really have to go to Canada, which is nice, like, but.
Okay, I'll do it.
Yeah. So, yeah, I got on 3 planes in a week, and it's weird. You know,
the airport was super empty.
The airports were Seattle on the way back today was crowded, but it's a Sunday, and Sundays mm-hmm. are a crowded travel day. Sunday mornings are a crowded travel day. And I mean, Seattle airport's maybe my favorite airport because, you know, it's got the Sub Pop shop, and it's got their Delta Lounge is open.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I didn't
you returned to the Delta Lounge.
So the one in San Diego is closed.
Yeah.
And I went in, and the one in Seattle is gigantic. They have two, but the main one, it's very big. And I thought they might be open. And so I went in, and if they have granola or oatmeal to go, I will get that. But they didn't. So I didn't get anything. Mm-hmm. I didn't, because I knew I'd get a little box on the plane. This is so boring. Okay. Travel habits. But I didn't even get a coffee there because they have that coffee. I don't know if you remember, but they have a very good coffee spot right there. Flore. They serve Stumptown. So I got that. But
is
so
that baggage claim?
No, that is not a baggage claim. All that right. is in the A gates.
Okay.
Which have a pretty handy connection to the S gates.
I ran through the Seattle airport.
You ran through the Portland airport 2 years ago.
No.
Yes.
I flew to Seattle, then I...
You ran through the Portland airport.
I connected to Portland.
You ran through the Portland airport.
Why would I run through the Portland airport?
Why were you?
Because we were meeting in Portland. You're right. So I ran through the Seattle airport.
Is that true?
Yeah. Because I had to get on the plane to Portland.
That is true. You sprinted. But you were with Seattle. You were with me in Seattle recently, weren't you? Oh, on the flight home.
Oh, did we? We went back to Seattle.
Yeah, and I was like,
home?
Come check out the Sub Pop shop. And you were like, you didn't want to go. You were like weirdly shutting down.
Oh, I would never.
We had like an hour and a half like layover. And I was like, hey, let's go walk around. And you just were like, didn't want to do it. Without any reason. I was very excited to show it to you, and you just got in, and you're like, you weren't even like looking up.
I can't deny this.
I still don't remember why.
I don't know either. Sometimes we're both weird about shopping. Because one of us will be like, I'm into this. Let's go look around. And the other one's no.
Yeah. I didn't view that as shopping. I viewed that as we have an hour and a half in an airport.
I don't know. I can't remember.
I think you really wanted to get to the Delta Lounge. I think that might have been it.
I was just hungry.
Yeah. That is we figured that out before we got married. Thank God. maybe a year in where I was just like, oh, if Melissa is hungry or has to pee, she can't function. Like, everything stops. The only thing that can be discussed, you get like, you just start to put your hand on your head and you start getting all it's happening like really suddenly. Like, it's not a slow, like, I think I might have to go to the bathroom. It's like, I have to pee. I have to go to the bathroom so much. I have like a vivid memory of us being like out somewhere. I don't even remember where it was. We were just like walking around and you just got so mean all of a sudden. We were like having a good time and it took like a half an hour and you're like, I'm hungry and have to go to the bathroom. And then you turned into a doll.
And I was like, better.
You got a bagel and a bathroom break. So anyways, the airports are fine. It's a very strange time to be traveling. Nobody's paying me for any of these things. I don't have an airline sponsor, but I will tell you, if you are flying right now, American Airlines is filling those things to the max. And if they're not to the max, they might as well be to the max. They are full, full.
Is that what you took to Texas?
I had to take it to Texas. Delta doesn't get to Texas very easily. And so it's Southwest or American. And Delta is doing what they're supposed to do. They're like, no middle seats. No one's in the middle seats. And when you get an upgrade to first class, you get the whole row to yourself.
Whoa.
Pretty comfortable. That's like a private jet. To have two seats to yourself in first class is a private jet.
That's amazing.
In the very front of the plane is quite comfortable. Thank you. Thank you. They handed me my food box and I put it down in the seat next to me. And I was like, I'll get to that later.
You stay there.
I got some space here. not that I would have had any, but you know, the lack of a beverage is unfortunate. But yeah, when you get on the plane, both of them, they hand you a little thing,
like a goodie bag.
A goodie bag, mm-hmm. You know,
And then they're like, we won't see you again.
It's never been easier to be a flight attendant. I can't believe they're getting full pay because they are not doing full work.
I wonder if they have to clean or if that's...
I don't think they're the ones that clean planes, but I could be wrong about that.
I guess they have to fly right now.
I'm just saying during the flight itself, never been easier.
Furloughed some people.
They all have the internet pass on their phone. I've always known that, you know, and they shouldn't
give them.
And they just, can buy it yourself, and they just sit down in their little fake seat by the bathroom.
Yeah, the little
zone out, maybe. and then if somebody hits the ring, they go, ugh. But they also expose themselves to coronavirus at a pretty high rate, so. No judgment there. Yeah, I saw a thing that somebody said, this is what we're talking about. Like, it's, like, so hard to sift information. Somebody's like, yeah, there's been 10 employees of Delta or another one that have died. And then somebody responded saying, like, Delta has 80,000 employees. Wow. Like, tragic for the 10. I would never downplay that. But you kind of have to tell the full story. It's like the Biden thing. I'm so frustrated that was I talking to you about this? I was talking to Jordan about this last week. I was like, it sucks to me that our two choices for president are 70-year-old white men. Like, and not even white men, just 70-year-old dudes. Like, I'm just like, but like, there's a snippet of Biden where he said, you know, 120 million Americans have died of COVID. And that was running, and Trump ran an ad or tweeted it and admitted it, like, da 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 da. And that was it, because he was so off. His number was any good. Uh-huh. And then you watch the whole clip. The whole clip goes like this. He goes, and, you know, almost 120 million Americans have died. And then he pauses and he goes, I'm sorry, I mean 120,000. He immediately corrected it.
Oh my gosh.
bag, and people just run with it. Like, who has not said the wrong number before? If you're going to find Biden looking dumb saying words and stuff, that's not the one to run with. There's plenty of other choices.
Yeah.
This is my curse living on the internet, Melissa.
Especially during a political year, like an election year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As if there's nothing else going on right now. So,
right.
Anyways, I did not live on the internet this week. I lived in a Courtyard Marriott in downtown Tacoma, where was part of where we fell in love.
Mm-hmm. I went to high school in Tacoma. Yeah.
Yes, you did. I'm going to give you my opening 5 minutes that I was doing each night. Ready?
Yeah.
Not all of it. I walked to the stage. This happened every single show where the host, his name was ready. Gavin with a C. Gavin. As our middle Josh said, he goes, yeah, it's not a name. That's not a name. That's just what he's called. Like, it is his name, but Gavin is not a name.
Cavrin.
I kept calling him Cobrin because in my mind, I was like, it's a name like another name that starts with a C. So I kept landing on Cobrin. But then I was just mumbling it. Keep it going for Josh. But I'd start clapping. Yeah. That's one of my most humiliating moments running the stats is we had a comedian, I forgot his last name, and he called me on it immediately. I was like, everybody make it loud for Brent. I forgot his last name, and I tried to do the clap, and he's like, oh my gosh, the host just forgot my name. And I was like, well, don't be a jerk about it. We've all been there.
You're like, I also booked this show.
Anyways, that's a good point. I should have said that. Anyways, I thanked him for doing the show a few times and apologized, and he never responded. And for someone who's wildly insecure when somebody doesn't like him.
He knew that.
He really...
No, but if he actually knew that, he wouldn't have done that.
Maybe.
No.
I think he was genuinely offended. Mm. Which if I'd have known that he was so easily offended, I wouldn't have booked him because I don't like people like that. You don't need to come down. If you're doing Lestats on a Tuesday, like you're a person, you're a good comic, but you're not some star.
You're not a diva.
You know what's funny is I can't remember his last name right now either. So there you go. There you go. So
people mess up names.
Every single time, Kevin. This is an old joke that our friend Peter Delgado told us once when we were in a car. Is that his name is like, it's very similar. There's a street in East San Diego spelt like Jamacha. Jamacha. It almost looks like Jamaica. Jamacha. Mm-hmm. But you say it
Hamishaw.
Mm-hmm. And as Peter Delgado once said, you have to look at that word and then just say a different word.
Yeah.
Like, you can't read that word.
Google Maps will say Jamacha.
Yeah, you cannot read that word. You have to look at that and then find a little signal in your brain that goes, now say this.
Yeah.
But so each show, Kevin changed my mic, you know, because you're going to change the mic. And then he would change them. He would go up after the middle Josh and he would change the mic and then he would put my mic in and then he would speak into my mic. And which every time I said that, I was like, did anybody else notice that Kevin just changed the mic and then immediately spoke into it? Which would get a laugh.
I actually think that happened at the Grand too.
I'm almost positive that it did. Yeah. You're like, you should just hand me the new mic have it just sitting there.
Yeah, you could put it in.
You know what the easiest thing to do? Have three mics, three stands up there. You grab that one. I grab that one. We grab that one. Piece of cake. Or Madhouse was doing it right in that they would hand me a mic as I walked in and I would just clip it in right when I got up there.
Yeah.
Piece of cake. But anyway, so I would do that and I would make a joke about that every time. It'll work most times. And then I was thanking them for coming to the show and buying tickets and getting a physical as they walked in because they did that. They had to have their temperatures checked. It was a whole thing.
Yeah.
And then I did some I thank them for, I was using the term, thanking for coming to this debatably legal comedy show. Because it felt like that. Yep. I was like, this is the closest thing to breaking a law I've ever done. Look at me. This
well,
is...
yeah, numbers were spiking and governors were shutting things, and clubs
I said this to them too, and
bars.
I felt genuinely, I said, I have, because the numbers were good all weekend, like I think there were 2 sellouts, and I was like, I have such mixed feelings about there being so many of you here. There.
I kind of wish less of you would have come.
I would have not minded that. I did. I told them, but I was happy to be local. I do, you know, my hacky. I'm from up here, as you can tell by the flannel and the seasonal depression. That's all working, crashing. Mm-hmm. For those of you who don't know, a lot of time this is what Melissa and I do when I get home anyways, is I let her know some new jokes that we're working and maybe how, maybe some local jokes that I was saying.
Or some crazy stories.
Send me some crazy stories, which there were plenty of crazy stories. And I, and then I was talking about it from there. And I said, the last time I was up there, I brought my son, which is true. Mm-hmm. And, I showed him where you went to high school, Stadium High School, which is like a castle. It's where
it's
the movie 10 Things I Hate About You was.
It's a castle.
It's literally a castle. Mm-hmm. And then I took him to my school, Decatur High School in Federal Way. And he goes, oh, this is why you guys are so different. And he said, were there any movies shot at your school? And I said, yeah, Shawshank Redemption. You know, we're working up there.
Yes.
We're working. And big hits. Did a joke about, or he said, so I'm happy to be learning how to do comedy. This is true. I told them, and I mean this. I was like, forgive me if I don't remember how some of these jokes go. If some of you guys heard me before and you notice that I'm telling them wrong or that I forgot a part, feel free to shout that out. You know, I'm trying.
Yes.
And then, and then I just did some jokes about Seattle, about how, you know, I was doing a few sets there. And then next week I was doing some sets up at Chaz. and then I think I'm at it. It's fun to have local stuff because then I did, you know, the Seattle got a big spike early and, you know, a lot of people are like, ah, you know, this whole thing came from that guy that ate that bat in China. I was like, I'm pretty sure it was the gum wall.
Right.
Which is, you know, it's some good local humor right there.
Yep.
So we're hot. You know, we're coming in hot the first 5 minutes there. And then my normal hacky stuff. Plenty of tension on any of the protest stuff still.
Yeah.
And
Tacoma is a wild night out.
It is.
I mean, just from what I've heard.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not like it can be a little rowdy, and it's not South Sound. It's not super woke liberal Capitol Hill. It's more blue collar, you know, and you know, so they'd be a little groany at some point. Plus, you know, my fans are grown-ups. I asked the so this is funny. So Tommy the bartender, he's a really great dude. I love him so much. He's one of my favorite employees. And I asked him, I was like, hey, man, like, did you make any money? Or are my people drinking this weekend? I hope you made some money. And he goes, yeah, they did really well. And he's like, hey, it's, you know, I mean, I know it's not like, I know you don't sell a crazy amount of tickets, but I know a lot of these people are here for you. This is great. I'm keeping it. He's very encouraging. And I asked him, I was like, what do my fans drink?
Yes.
You know, and I was just out of curiosity, you know, and because I know he's like, yeah, you know, there's definitely, you know, like certain comes, it's like all mixed drinks, you know, and and he's like, when Bert Kreischer type guys come in, it's all beers, you know, just bros pounding beers. Mm-hmm. And I go, what about me? And he goes, a lot of Moscow mules.
Like a hipster.
Yeah, he's like, you know, it's kind of, that's what he said. He's like, you know, it's like kind of a cool drink, but kind of basic at the same time, you know. And he's like, and they go out and it's real sweet and you can get pretty messed up on it pretty fast. I was like, that's accurate. And I told you about I had one friend there. I'm not going to go into great details, but I did
maybe leave the name out.
I did have a friend get removed. And they were like kind of heckling, and I was like, I kind of like went and dealt with it, and then I was like, oh my gosh, I went to middle school with you. it was a fun moment. That's hometown shows.
Was that Saturday or Friday?
That was Saturday, and I believe the last time they saw me perform was probably even a drunker, rowdier crowd at our high school reunion, my 10-year high school reunion. Maybe the worst. It's one of the top worst gigs. And I always block it out. Were you there? I don't remember if you were there.
I was there.
Oh gosh. Just nobody was listening. I never had a chance, right? Like that's what I remember.
We were in Fremont at a bar.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then they were like, well, there's a stage, so...
So go get on stage. And then, like, 15, 20 people who, like, knew me, like, my friends from high school, which were not a lot, because I wasn't really around in high school.
Yeah.
And then some people who were, like, chill went over and watched it, and they were cool, but I was just right next to the bar.
Nobody wanted to watch that.
I know. I think that's the only time I can remember a booker telling me to get off. The booker did gave me she? One of these, oh, the neck thing.
Well, I'm glad she did.
Oh, thank God she did.
Yeah.
It was like for like $150.
It was like she like shamefully handed you like $200.
And didn't we then go drive to my grandma's like funeral?
Yes.
Two deaths in the family that week.
And it wasn't like, a little drive. It was like a 9-hour drive. With like a, I was pregnant, Gloria was like 3, and Joel was like 6. It was all terrible.
It's so
And we
bad.
Were in like a 2-door car.
Oh yeah. My gosh. I forgot about that.
And then you went and performed a funeral. Yeah.
I crushed at the funeral though.
You did.
I had a good set at the funeral.
Yep. Oh man.
Anyways, how was your weekend? That was my weekend. I hung out with my mom, my sister. They all say hi. We ate at various Tacoma places, two places.
Went running.
I went running twice. Yeah. Uh-huh. I didn't tell you this. I went down, you know, downtown Tacoma pretty well, but you know, I was I was like right by the convention center and Union Station.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, we'll go down by the waterfront down there and, you know, kind of down by Johnny's when we had our first date.
Homecoming.
Yeah, exactly. And I was running down there and it was nice. And then I was like, oh man, I gotta get back up there, you know? but there's no way to, there's no path. There's no streets. The only way, you have to go up the stairs to get up to the bridge.
Oh wow.
You have to climb 6 stories of stairs. And I was like, oh, there's an elevator, I should use that. And then it was not working, so, and I was going, and I was wearing that shirt, that Never Give Up shirt that I have.
Oh man.
And then I got to the top and I gave up. I was so sweaty and so gross and not running. And I hope some people was like, look at that guy not running. He's quit. He's wearing a shirt that says never gave up. And he gave up. I ran. And then the next one day I was still pretty tired. And I just, you know, I don't plan these things very well. So I didn't realize, you know, stadium is not, it's in downtown Tacoma ish.
It's kind of off.
It's 2 miles. It's 2 miles from where I was. So I went a 4-mile run, which is not an easy run, especially if I ran a bunch of stairs the day before. So yes, I did run. And then you're like, are we going to run today? And I was like, a resounding no, absolutely not. I'm going to come home. Going to put some money in the bank. Always a good feeling. And not run today. So what did you do?
Yeah.
Did you run? Mom had her thing. You had some friends over.
I had 2 things while you were gone.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I did 2 shows a night. You had 2 things.
Yep. Well, it was my birthday week.
Now, for the record, I didn't miss your birthday. I didn't.
No.
We were here for your birthday.
We celebrated. Yep.
We went to Blanco.
Yep.
You got some.
We went to Mexican food.
I keep wanting to call them moccasins, but they're Birkenstocks.
I got Birkenstocks.
You got some Birken. They're shiny.
I got Birks.
Mom got some shiny stocks.
I was Melissa, wondering if I was too old for them.
Melissa, why? It's interesting that you bring up.
36.
First off, why would you feel like that you're too old for them? And why would you feel that even though you feel like you might be too old for them, you still need them? And why would you feel the need to get such shiny ones that bring attention? Do you feel like,
I don't like to bring attention to my feet.
And yet.
No, I needed a lot of straps to cover my feet.
And yet we have, you have shiny, radiant straps
Rose
that
pink.
Look like they collect energy from the sun.
Yeah. It's a bold shoe.
And Melissa.
Does that reflect something in my past?
Do
maybe?
You feel like there is a thing in your life that you don't want to bring attention to, but you know needs attention?
I already told you my feet.
Like some airy. Yeah, but what are your feet a metaphor for? What are the feet of your soul and your heart that you don't want to bring attention to, but you know needs attention.
No.
Melissa, what are the feet of your soul?
It's like a soul imprint. Footprint?
It's a soul.
Footprint.
No, Melissa, it's a soul. Like a foot soul. Do you understand what I'm saying? The double meaning of soul.
Whoa.
Your okay, but soul. Like,
the shoe soul.
What's your insole? And normally, Melissa, you wear shoes, and so what are you trying to cover up? anyways, Melissa got some
I got some Birkenstocks.
Mockenstocks, and yep. and then you had some friends over the weekend.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Gloria found a hidden tablet.
Gloria got sneaky.
Sneaky Gloria. Gloria is not. Gloria did not get sneaky. Gloria is sneaky. She's a sneaky sneaky.
Mm-hmm. Well, so I had two friends over. Mm-hmm. We all have June birthdays on Saturday night. We were going to go to this restaurant.
The June gals.
Yeah, June gals.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. June is normally an emotional month for you. There's a lot going on. We had a day where we decided to move to Georgia.
Yeah.
That's how emotional and irrational.
Thursday night.
We were looking at homes in Georgia.
12:30 a.m. I'm Zillowing.
We had decided to move to Georgia. And then I leave it for a day and a half. And I'm like, what are we talking about? No making decisions in late June.
Yes. I mean, you...
4 months into quarantine.
You were home like a day and a half this week. Like,
yeah.
I mean, you're home Sunday, a little bit of Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yeah.
You were gone a lot.
I was.
We were like, let's do it.
Well, good news.
Let's go scout Georgia.
Yeah.
In 2 weeks.
I think we were just bored. We're like, well, what if we moved? That'd be something to do.
It's a good time to pack.
It's the worst time to move, though.
Because
like you said, you pointed that out. You're like, oh, we'll probably get off unemployment. You're like, well, that won't do. Because I have no other work happening right now.
Oh, I know. I think it was just all the work cancellations.
You went on one run.
Yeah.
Saw some seedy characters.
Yeah.
And then you're like, we're
especially
moving.
Especially seedy, homeless heavy run.
Yeah, and whatever, you know, that's a part of our community and it's a sad reality, you know, but it wasn't actually even anything that was homeless. There was just like, you know, we run these little like catwalk things and there were just there, you know, they were a little more crowded than normal. We had to run a main drag for a little while and we heard some people like yelling and cussing and you were already kind of emotional and you're like, I want out of here. It was a very emotional reaction.
Like, well,
and I'm always down for moving. I love change. So
what it is I can't give my almost 11-year-old daughter the same privileges that I've given my son to kind of roam the neighborhood.
Right, right.
And that's a hard thing.
Right.
She's super independent.
Mm-hmm.
So
younger, though. She wouldn't... Joel didn't get those till now.
He did with like, Isaiah.
Well,
with, like, his neighbor friend. But Isaiah's also, like, the best kid
that's
ever lived.
Well, he doesn't always pick the best friends, but... That's not true. That's just because.
Well, sometimes
girls are mean.
Yeah,
so mean.
I mean,
sometimes you're just
like, I trust your friend way more than you.
Sometimes you're just having a good time and everything's good, and then they get hungry, and then you want to go show them the shop in the airport, and they just shut down.
Yeah,
and they're like, "You go wine and dine me in that lounge." You
girls are a mess.
No one in history has ever liked an airport lounge more than Melissa Nickerson, FYI. Oh my gosh.
It's like salad here.
Look at all
salad
these curated meats and salads and sticks and
I'm gonna get like four different beverages.
Oh my gosh. I can get a water, a coffee, and a wine. Are you kidding me?
It's all free.
So yeah, you had some friends over.
Yeah.
And what was
and then
the
I went
thing?
To a coffee thing at my friend's house.
Yeah. Melissa and I referenced an Onion article that we saw 10 years ago, maybe. And it was just, the headline was, kids remember, quote, mom's got her thing tonight.
Yeah.
And that's why as we were representing, mom's got her thing.
Like, I'm not making dinner.
Yeah.
And we got our thing.
I'm going to leave. Did you remember, like, because I left twice this week, was it like, oh yeah, I know how to do this? Because that's your normal state of like, oh yeah, I'm not even married.
You know what,
Justin's gone.
I did for the first time, because a lot of times your dad's like, you know, in the house.
Yeah.
I left the kids and grocery shopped without them.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh,
and they called me like three times.
Trying to get them kidnapped?
I mean, Joel's 13.
That's true. Joel is 13.
But
he's small, though. It'd be an easy kidnap.
Oh, stop.
Nah, just hit him with a skateboard.
But no, I was worried about doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, I had to drive for Joel's friend. Sure. He had a sleepover. We had a lot going on.
Yeah.
I did it. You get out of habit, and then you're like, quarantine makes you question everything.
It does make you question. I was totally out of habit traveling, too. I forgot. I don't know if I told you this, boarding the flight from San Diego to Seattle. They call my boarding group number. It was the first one. I get up there and I go and I walk over there and I scan my boarding pass and I start walking like two steps onto the ramp and I go, I forgot my suitcase, like in my seat back in the gate area. So yeah, I forgot how to do everything. But you know what I'm getting very good at now is the mask. I don't forget the mask anymore because it was mandatory up there. You know who wasn't wearing it up there? The cops. It's like mandatory. And I was like, y'all, this is a good time for some PR moves for the police department right now.
Maybe issue out the masks.
Yeah. And I told you I joined a protest when I was up there.
Yes.
It was hilarious because like the first one that I went to was like all super planned out. And, you know, I have the bit about it now. And then this one, I was like getting some coffee at this little coffee place there and some coffee. It's very good. Downtown Tacoma. It's right next to Union Station. It's like literally attached to it. And then I saw the protest and I hear them and I was like, yeah, I'll hop in on that. And then I got in and immediately it turned into snack time. They went for their snack break, which was great. And got a little water. Got a little granola bar, and then I walked with him for a little bit more, and then headed back on my way. But I wasn't like, it was I almost kind of felt bad, but I was like, listen, I've been pretty outspoken about these things, you know.
You felt bad like dipping out,
you know, mm-hmm. But I'm like, what are you going to do here, you know? But this one actually blocked a street. They were walking down Pacific, which is a very busy street in downtown Tacoma.
Wow.
And yeah.
They just overtook it.
That was the plan. And there wasn't that many of them. It wasn't like, you know, 1,000 people. It was like 100 people kind of spread out. And I was like, this is a bold move because, you know. Yeah. But then they did it the next day and the cops were there to kind of like help them block traffic a little bit. Mm-hmm. God bless some of these cops, man. Seriously. I mean, like a lot of these cops are, you know. You cannot make an overarching statement about protesters, and you cannot make an overarching statement about rioters or looters or cops or anybody, because everybody's so wonderfully different as humans. But you know, a lot of these times, in a lot of instances, I shouldn't say in a lot of instances, but in some instances, you know, cops are literally keeping. I will say a lot of instances are literally helping keep protests safe and businesses safe at a protest that is against them. You know,
which is very
challenging. And that's part of the job, you know, if you're a cop. And obviously, and I've talked to a lot of cops about this already, like obviously some of them are not doing it well and getting violent and causing the problems. Yeah. And, you know, so but it is an interesting, you know, balance of like, you know, having to keep people safe. That's your job in that moment, to keep people safe at a protest that is against you.
It's a hard spot to be
in. Yeah. And on that note, I think we have to go order some Weiwei and eat some dinner and watch an X-Men because we are plowing through that, right?
Mm-hmm. Chinese food.
All right. You guys are the best. Thank you for listening to the podcast, everybody. And
see you next week.
See you next week. That's it. Thanks for listening to that episode, everybody. I wanted to give a special shout out to our designated drivers. That is our highest level of patrons. Demarius Diaz Stevens, Troy Meacham, Dave Hoagland, and Rachel Jakewith. Really appreciate your support of the podcast. If you have not already, please like and subscribe and share. Backseaters, you mean the world to us. Thanks so much for tuning in.